Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kalish Leviel, the practitioner of the day. And my pronouns are she and her, and my ancestors come from over there. That works. On my mother's side is the Hungarian, Czechoslovakian side, and on my father's side is the Lithuanian side, and they argued about it all the time. So I just... And what I like to say is welcoming you to Center for Spiritual Living, where it's about awakening humanity to its spiritual magnificence and creating a world that works for everyone in a house that has prayers flowing through it all the time. So join me in knowing the prayer of this moment. It's all one, and it's all divine. It's all spirit. It's all wonderful. It's all in awe of what we create in every moment. We thank you, sweet spirit, for this beautiful day in this beautiful setting in this beautiful place in this beautiful talk of vulnerability. And so it is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Abigail Shire, if you're here for the first time, and my pronouns are she and her, and my ancestors hail from Ireland, Germany, and Prussia, which is a very big country that broke up into a lot of different countries. And I've been gone this last week. I went to Reno. I went to the Centers for Spiritual Living convention with, I think, 450 other people, including my mom, who's in the house. Yeah! I brought her home with me. Well, mostly because we're going to be facilitating Sister Spirit starting on Thursday. And so I'll be leaving again with several of you who are coming to Sister Spirit. I'm really excited about it. But one thing about doing a lot of things in a country, in a world where there's a lot going on, is I find myself on a little bit of a roller coaster. And our theme this month is the practice of becoming. And today is the path of vulnerability, which means I get to be vulnerable with you. Yay! Woo! So the truth is, when I went to Reno, I was feeling a little, not depressed, but down. I was definitely feeling down and sad about things going on in our country. I don't know if you know, but right now I'm staying at a congregant's house, my wife and I, in Ferndale. And there is a immigration detention facility there. And I found out that after school programs in the city had to close because the parents were afraid of their kids' safety. And also the schools wanted to protect the kids. And it's just, it's heartbreaking for me. You know, children, families, afraid for the, I'm living right there. These are my neighbors, you know? These are my neighbors. And I really wish I could have all the answers all the time, but I don't. And sometimes I question things. I question everything. I question if I'm actually making a difference, if anything I'm doing is enough. And I wonder if, you know, if positive thinking is a right opportunity when the world is cracking? Or am I doing spiritual bypassing? Am I ignoring what's happening and pretending like everything's okay? And what I notice is that sometimes I really want to come to you and present like, oh, I've got it all together. Sometimes I don't. I don't always have it all together. And I really can't talk about becoming if I'm pretending that I've arrived. Because we're all becoming and we're all evolving and there is no arrival. So we're all in this together. We're all doing this evolutionary expression and experience of life together, individually and collectively. And I kind of think that things are cracking individually and collectively. But I've been thinking about this idea that a seed cannot become what it was meant to be until it cracks open. And a seed, like imagine an acorn or some kind of seed that's a tree, contained within, actually any seed, but contained within the seed, there's a, it's like small, it's dense, it's perfectly sealed, there's a hard surface on the outside, but everything in it is the blueprint for its unfolding. The roots, the trunk, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits, it's all contained in there. And in order for the seed to crack open, it's got to go in the dirt. And the dirt is filled with compost and detritus. I like the word. And then it goes in there and it's dark and it cracks open. So the cracking is not a catastrophe. The cracking is the whole point. And the shell doesn't crack because something went wrong. It cracks because the life inside of it has grown too big to stay inside that shell. Because it's time, because the conditions are right for it to come through. So I do think many of us are in cracking season right now. Personally, collectively, the world cracking. But the question is, it's not whether or not the cracking is happening. The question is, do I trust what wants to come through? Do I trust what is coming through as an evolution? The seed doesn't crack for anybody looking at it. The seed cracks because it's ready to become. There's an art form in Japan called kintsugi, and if there's a piece of pottery that breaks, instead of discarding the pottery, the artist fills the crack with gold lacquer. And interestingly enough, the piece is more valuable afterwards than less valuable. It's more beautiful for having been broken and honestly repaired, and the history of breaking is not hidden, it's honored. So I don't know if you've seen this lovely prayer wheel that we have. That's my necklace sitting there. Okay. But right here, it has been broken. This prayer wheel was given to us by Frank Selden, a community member here. It's an art piece by Chris Mensch, a locally very famous Bellingham artist. And yeah. And it's beautiful. I also want to honor the pedestal it's on that was made by Mike Roberts in the room here, too. It's gorgeous. He said it had to be as beautiful as this thing, and I think it is. It's very stunning. But what I notice is that I might have a tendency to want to hide my cracks, to want to pretend like everything is seamless and, you know, just don't look too close. I don't have any cracks. But I'm going to be real. I have plenty of cracks. I got plenty of them. And what I was just thinking about, so before, so I was at Reno for a week, which was amazing. But before I went, I needed to get a whole bunch of things ready for Sister Spirit. We have almost 100 people coming to Sister Spirit, which is amazing, yes. And there's a lot of little details to get done. And we were having a meeting the week before I left to Reno. And after the meeting, I was not okay. And my mom called me, and she had remembered this one little thing. That's, I'm spiritual director. There's things that are mine to do, right? There's specific jobs that are mine. Specific, my mom's the registrar, by the way, of Sister Spirit. And so there's things that are hers, lots of things that are hers to do. And she remembered something that was mine to do. And she called me up to remind me of the thing that was mine to do. And I was just like, I can't. And you know, I was very shut down after this meeting. Other people were really inspired, but I was shut down. And I had to figure out that what had happened is I have PTSD, and it was activated in an unexpected way, because it hasn't been activated in that way before. And what I realized is that I was under a lot of stress and pretending like I wasn't under a lot of stress, and I was denying it to myself. And the way that when PTSD activates for me, I know it's different for other people, but for me, my brain shuts off. Like, I literally can't do anything. I can't process anything. I can't think. I can't do anything. And I get this huge heaviness inside my body that feels very uncomfortable and terrible, almost nauseating. And that's where I was at. And I was like, I can't do this, Mom. I can't. I mean, it was like a little thing too. It was like something that should be okay, should be easy. And I was reminded that maybe I could ask for help. I was like, oh yeah, I have a whole team of people. And what I did is I did a call for help on my dream team. That's my leadership team. I said, look, I hit my max. I can't operate. I know these are small things, but I can't do them. I know they're mine to do, but I just can't. And things started coming off my plate. They started taking these things off and supporting me, helping me out. And I was able to pack and go to Reno, which I'm so grateful for. And by the way, thank you. You all sent me to Reno. I'm very grateful for that. Yeah. But I was able to do it because I had to ask for help. And one of the things I recognize is I need to practice radical self-care when I'm not doing well. And this is part of my becoming experience. It's like, how do I manage this thing in my life? I've had lots of tools, but this is a new thing for me. This is a new experience that I'm navigating. And what I recognize, and I've known this for a long time, is that I can't help others when I'm in that place of not being okay. I can't. And it's like you can't get sick enough to help somebody who's sick, or you can't get poor enough to help somebody who's poor. You know, so many of us are trying to, like, help, and we're not okay ourselves. And so it's not being selfish or wrong to take care of yourself. As a matter of fact, the world needs you to take care of yourself right now. Yeah. Because I can only give when I'm centered, when I'm grounded. But I can also recognize that in the dirt or in the cracking, I'm cracking open, and that doesn't mean I'm wrong or bad or a terrible person or I don't belong here. It just means that I have a new level of awareness and a new way of being. And one of the most important things that I know for myself is I get to practice more self-love. I get to be in a place of learning how to love myself whenever I'm not doing great. I love myself, I learn how to love others better. I learn how to love others better. And that's what I believe will change the world, is being a powerful force for love. Because I've asked you this question before, what would love do? I ask myself, what would love do? And it's really important. And it's going to be different in every circumstance, in every situation. And even if there's something going on out in the world and I'm getting off kilter from it, sometimes the solution is just getting me back centered so I can go out and make a difference. Or so I can respond from a place of love. You know, cell biologist Bruce Lipton discovered something really interesting. A cell cannot be in growth mode and protection mode at the same time. So when a cell recognizes a threat, it walls itself off and it stops absorbing nutrients, it stops developing, it redirects all of its energies towards defense. And so protection and growth are biological opposites. Now, I want to be in growth mode. I don't know about you. I want to be in a place where I'm giving, where I'm emerging, where I'm standing in my power, and there's a sense of love and connection. Like, I believe I was incarnated at this time because I want to make a positive impact in the world on my friends, my family, my community, the globe. But I can't do that if I'm in protection mode. And I need to pay attention to notice when I'm in protection mode and what's causing me to go into that protection mode. You know, Ernest Holmes said, the spirit can only do for us what it can do through us. Through us. In order to do something through us, it requires an opening. It requires a willingness to be available to something powerful that is love moving through me. So instead of trying to earn worthiness or pretend like I'm somebody I'm not, I'm just going to be who I am. I wore jeans for the third time. Thank you very much. And by the way, this is something I've never done before. I've been to those CSL conventions for like, I don't know, since 2008, whenever I went into ministerial school. I've been going to the Centers for Spiritual Living conventions all around the world. I have always dressed up, and this year I wore jeans because I was like, my community loves me. They accept me for who I am. I mean, I'm not saying I don't love to dress up too, but it really feels good up here. Thank you. So one of the things I know is that when I crack open and I'm vulnerable, I give others permission to do the same. And it's also the most courageous act you can do. You know, Brené Brown talks about that a lot. She talks about courage because people want to be more courageous in life. How do I have courage to be myself or to take a stand for something I believe in? How do I have that courage? Well, the interesting thing is that you have to be vulnerable. They go hand in hand. You can't be courageous without being vulnerable. I mean, you think about heroes, like, what did they do? Well, they went into a vulnerable state and they did something incredible. So in order to have courage to step into a new way of being, you actually have to be vulnerable. It seems counterintuitive, but that's how the world works. And that vulnerability is not a weakness. This is what Brené Brown says. She's a researcher, by the way. I'm a huge fan. And she said that when people choose authentic vulnerability over managed performance in professions, that they've discovered vulnerability is not a weakness. It is the birthplace of creativity, belonging, and love. And I want this place to be a place of creativity, belonging, and love. So we're going to do a little exercise. You get to sit in your seat this time. What I'd like you to do is I want you to let your shoulders roll back and down. This is opening your chest up where your heart is. You're exposing your heart space. And I want you to put your hand over your heart and breathe in through your nose four counts, hold two counts, and breathe out for six counts, okay? I'm going to count. All right, breathe in. One, two, three, four. Hold for one, two, and breathe out for six. One, two, three, four, five, six. And now take a long, slow sigh of relief. Keep your shoulders back. Keep your hand on your heart. Now bring to mind one thing you have been carrying alone. It doesn't have to be a big thing, just something you feel alone with. Don't analyze it. Don't try to resolve it. Just let it be here with you. Put it in your heart space. And I want you to repeat after me. Say this to that thing. I see you. You are welcome here.
You are welcome here.
And take one more breath. Sigh out. And that is the exercise. See, what you have done is the beginning of vulnerability. You didn't have to declare it to the world. Nobody knew what that place was. But you gave it permission to exist. Carl Jung called this making the unconscious conscious. You're naming what lives in your shadow so it doesn't have to be causing any harm in your life. You're speaking to it, loving it as part of the wholeness that you are, not trying to solve it, not trying to make it better. You're just being with it. So that is the beginning of healing. One of the things I love whenever I first started here is the culture that Dr. Andrea and you all started, which is the perfection-free zone. The perfection-free zone. I love the perfection-free zone. Love, love, love it. You know why I love it? Because I'm a recovering perfectionist. You may not know that, but I really am. Ask my mom. So perfection-free zone says you don't have to be finished to be welcome. You don't have to be polished to be loved. Your cracks are beautiful. You don't have to have perfection as the price of admission. Now, for me, I'll just let you know, for a perfectionist, it's like not only do you have to do the best, but you have to do it right, and it's got to be better than everybody else. And also, if you make a mistake, what's the process? you beat yourself up for it. How great is that, huh? So I love this idea that I don't have to beat myself up for making a mistake. It doesn't mean I remember that all the time, but it does mean that I can remind myself and I can come from a place of love and compassion for others. And I think that's what the world needs. The world needs us to be a place of love and compassion. The world needs us to come from a place of solid roots, of becoming, of growing into the beauty and the beingness of who we were meant to be on this planet. And I know that it's different for everyone, but I know that it's valuable, it's important, it's essential, and it's needed at this time. Because I'm cracking, maybe you're cracking, the world is cracking open, and it needs us to get grounded in our roots and to come up through the surface to become who we are truly meant to be. So I want to remind you that the Spirit moves through us when we're open, not when we're closed. And to continue to ask yourself, where am I in protection mode? And where can I love myself and move into a place of openness? And know that when you crack open, you give others permission to do the same. That vulnerability dissolves the illusion that we are alone in what's going on. And my third thing I want to remind you about is to live in this perfection-free zone that we have created. Release and surrender to the idea that you belong. You are meant to be here exactly as you are and exactly as you are not. And let love lead the way. Let's pray. I'm so grateful to be in a place, in a community where love is prolific, where the infinite spirit of the one great creator is present. And while it's always present, I may not remember or see it. So what I know is that I see it, I feel it, I'm open to it, and it is moving in and through me, even with my cracks. As especially because of my cracks, I recognize and know that the love of Spirit is that gold radiance that's shining through me, through my cracks, showing that this beauty is how the world was made. And as I see that in myself, I see that in other people, and I recognize and know that we are here to be a place of deep connection. That this is the place where the infinite showed up to remember itself as a source of love, of power, of peace, as grace. And knowing that when I remember this, I can take a stand for justice out in the world. I know that each and every person is valuable, that they are an expression of Spirit. I am reminded that I can take a stand when I am filled up with connection and knowing of who I truly am as well. That I can see the grace in each and every person and remember who they are as a piece of the Infinite One. I settle into that love and I know that love leads the way and love guides the day. I'm grateful to accept this right here and now and know that it permeates me and this entire community. And for that, I'm deeply grateful. And so it is.